You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to the Corona Chronicles, episode number 14. I'm your co-host, Jay Reason, and I'm here with the one, the only, Danny Diablo, a.k.a. Lord Ezak.
What's up?
What's up, E? What's going on, man? How are you? How are you feeling? What's going on? What's good in your
life? Fucking, the world sucks.
I mean, there's a lot of crazy shit happening, but the last episode we did was fucking awesome because it was, A, it was in person. So it was a non-Corona Chronicles episode. So that was kind of cool, right? Yeah. And that was the feedback on that one has been a lot of fun. So while some shit does suck, it was cool that we were able to do a non-Corona Chronicles episode.
Can we talk about what the fuck's going on in the world, the United States? Like what? I'm not a political guy, Jay.
Go ahead. If you would like to speak on it, it's your show, you know?
This is our show, Jay. So you're a Cuban American, right?
Yep. Yes.
Right. I understand the world's crazy, but on Instagram, I posted something. I was disgusted what happened at the Capitol.
Right.
And people went in. I'm talking about these people went in on my thing. Trump supporters were like, "How dare you?" I don't give a fuck about politics. I remember I told you that.
Yeah.
And I was like,
that's like the rule on our show.
Fuck politics. I was like, listen, they're like, that was Antifa. Oh, that BLM came into pretending they were Trump supporters, went in there. And I was like, I don't care what they were. I said straight up. I said, whoever, then they said the same stupid shit. It was like, well, BLM destroyed the thing. Why didn't people shoot those people? I said, yo, listen. When BLM destroyed mom and pop shops, I was like, they should have been arrested. If you would have came into my shop and burned that thing and violent, I would have shot you in the face. Same thing the Capitol. I think that the federal building, Capitol, which is our Capitol, our government, if you were on the property, you should have been shot in the fucking face. I don't care if you're Antifa, or BLM, or fucking Trumpeteers, Blue Martians, fucking scammed us, you should have got shot in the face. And people are like, how dare you? As a punk rock, hey, first of all, let's get this. I'm New York hardcore. Fuck punk rock. Like, we used to beat up punk rockers. I'm sorry. That's when we get real. That's the reality of it, right? So fuck you, you fucking punk rock stupid shit, right? Punk rockers are fucking retarded, drinking fucking whatever, moonshine and with a safety pins in your ear. You see safety pin in my ear? A fucking stupid dirty crap shirt
never,
on me? No. I'm New York hardcore, Cro-Mags, not your front. Shut up and suck a dick, right? Amen. Another thing is this. Then all these fucking dudes were like, yeah, but you're down with the government? No, I am not down with I'm down with the government. I'm down with the United States. I'm from the United States. Well, anarchy, I said, there should be no thing. Like all these people say, defund the police. Like, defund the police. I saw some fucking naked motherfucking dude kick some guy down, can't kill him. Then another guy threw him in the third rail the other day. And where's the police? We need police, motherfuckers. Another thing is, why we need fucking a government? Because if you, and I said, say the whack guy that hit me up, like over there, you have your crew and you're all whack, and all you guys listen to the baby, and you run around and oh yeah, we go trap and crap with all that, and then you have your whole crew, and there's anarchy going. My crew's going to kill your crew because we don't want your stupid shit. So we need someone to stop that. Because I know my crew's gonna start killing everyone that's being assholes. So that's why you need a government. If you didn't, there'd be like just like bikers running around killing each other. You mean? Right? That's what happens. We need police, we need government, and we need fucking morons to stay out of it.
Amen.
Most of the people online talking all this shit are morons. So, moron, stay home and just work your factory job and
get
be cool.
Get off the internet, right?
Get off the fucking internet. Right? Federal building, capital of the United States, should have white trash asshole Nazis running around in it. I don't care if they're fake, this and that. I saw the swastikas. I saw the white power tattoos and all that. Whatever. Yeah, on that note, another thing is Chubby Fresh from One Life Crew. Yeah. You suck my dick. All right?
I didn't want to give.
No. He got his thing shut down.
Yeah, I saw that.
Talking a racist piece of shit, but he's a fucking bitch. Yeah, I just caught him out there talking shit, a fake account to me, and Rick to Life ratted him out. So I talked to Rick to Life. He said, "Yo, it's him. Yo, Chubby Fresh. I'm doing a new Star record, and I'm 20 years later. I still diss you. You're still a bitch. You're still a punk, and you still never get the fame like I have." So eat a dick. Shout out to Cleveland. And shout out to all the good people in Cleveland. But Chubby Fresh, you are a bitch and you will always be a bitch. It must suck waking up in the morning and look at your mirror and seeing that fat fucking bitch ass face. Bitch ass nigga.
And that's how we start things on 2021. That's how we start things off on... So I want to... I got a sad one to point out real quick. I was telling you before we started the show. So I just want a quick little rest in power. Shout out to my boy, John Luciano Chano from Connecticut. He put out the Voice Reason on 7-2.
Rest in power, my brother.
Rest in power. I don't want to give too much personal shit about what happened, but watching your friends decline is something that's horrible, especially when we're all kind of in the same age and shit. It was fucking terrible, but I'm glad he's in a better spot. I love you, Chano. So just quick shout out there. Thank you for putting out our 7-inch. You know, it was fucking not many people, especially as I'll tell you this, as older as I've gotten, and you realize how expensive it is to do a label, and you see that this dude was just
to deal with young bands also.
Yeah. To deal with young bands. And we just
to be the guy in the background and we'll do it for the love of music. Put your stuff out so the world's hearing your music. And who else gave you that chance?
No, never. I mean, and this is what I'm saying. This was in like, you know, in the mid 90s when it was still, you know, when the catalogs and, you know, he put out ads for us. And again, it was as somebody who does a label now and spends money, I'm like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So back then it was harder then. So I just, you know, I want to just put a little bit of shine on my friend and the label. And I'll have some pictures and shit too. The other thing too, I just want to do, we had mentioned that, you know what, we had did the Stigma show. I'm going to hit up your new line in a second, but I just wanted a real quick shout out to everybody who came to Static Era in the holiday season.
Static Era in the house.
It was awesome. A lot of people saw it on the podcast, but the holiday season was sick. Everybody rolled through, bought shit. So guys, thank you so much. You have some new product coming out though, which I was going to show it off. Tell us about a little bit about the new line you got going on. If people haven't seen it on the Instagram, what do you got cooking there?
I got the New York Hardcore Streetwear Pitbull edition. You know, I basically ripped off Lonsdale and fucking put out some dope stuff. But
it looks sick.
Then you go to DannyDiabloMerch.com to New York Hardcore Streetwear. That's my clothing line. You get the hats. You got the beanies on there. You get a whole bunch of stuff. I'm doing a next February. This comes out. I'll be doing a Lord Ezek, the E-throw graffiti. The first
sick.
Graffiti.
Oh, I saw you posted that yesterday.
I posted that New York Hardcore Streetwear graffiti Lord E-throw. So that'll be out on my website when this drops. So just check out the website. Check out the New York Hardcore Streetwear clothing line, which I do. And if you want to pick up the baseball hats, you can get New York Hardcore Streetwear baseball hats. Go to Generation Records or... GenerationRecords.BigCartel.com and get it.
And you and I also got a shirt collaboration coming soon too,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You want to talk about it now or you want to wait?
I'll talk about it now. So Jay did a dope ass shirt design.
Homage to vintage hip hop style shirts. New York colors.
So I brought it to my to the DRP. I'd be like, DRP, we got to put this out. He goes, I can't. Because we can only do two colors. I was like, oh shit, that's how primitive New York Hardcore Streetwear is. So I had to outsource it and do a collab with Gutter Christ. Gutter Christ, we gotta put it out. Yay!
That's awesome. That shirt's gonna be sick. Have you ever thought about doing a reprint of the old
Not even that.
The old school, the Japanese old streetwear shit. Would you ever consider reprint? Would you ever?
I'll break it down.
Because so, people ask you about that. They ask you about that.
But the thing is, all that stuff had the letters on it. And
would you ever consider doing one without like a modification, modified design?
Yes. I'll change. Wait, we got to put something in there. I don't know. Maybe streetwear.
Right? Yeah.
But back then it was cool because anywhere all over the world
you would see
people would see that and be like, oh shit, DMS, Lord, he's that, you know, it was crazy, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
but I'd always been an innovator, you know what I mean? Like it's crazy to see that people know me from fashion. That's how weird is that? But I always been like I always did my own fashion, my own look, but I never had people making me up. You know what I mean? This is me, you know what I mean? This is my life.
I always remember back in the day, like you were the first kind of to have like a streetwear,
yeah,
sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
tell that to Hoya.
Well, you know what I'll say is,
Hoya, I love you, Casa de Hoya, I love you, but you are competition. I am running you down.
I
am number one, Diablo, New York Holocaust streetwear number one.
I was gonna say,
Casa de Hoya, 2 and 3.
You've always been an innovator and you still are in 2020 by being the first hardcore guy on Cameo. So I'm just going to say that first. So first,
all biting off me. You know who they are.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying you're the first.
Listen, I'm just saying.
With love. I'm saying it with peace and love. Thank you. With peace and love.
And coffee. Yeah, he said get coffee. Now they all got coffee.
No, but I'm saying it's interesting to me. I mean, I'm just a little bit here. You and I are just going to talk for a second that. We start something,
yeah,
and we do our own thing with it.
No, listen, I'm just Jay, come on, you're preaching to the choir.
I guess I'm saying it more for the people. I'm saying it more for the people that's. I'm saying, yo, me and Ezek see you. We love you. We support.
We love you. I give you props. Yo, listen, I give you guys props.
And we're doing our thing, but we're doing our thing here. So it's all good.
I'll tell you something else. I'll make Hoya laugh. Like, Hoya brought me on tour to Europe. Crown Thorns opened up for Madball 1995. And on the States, he brought me on the States, the big center, that big tour with Hatebreed and Crown Thorns, Hatebreed and Scarhead. So Hoya has done so much in my career, and I never thought I'd say this, but I owe him a lot. Thank you, Hoya.
I love Hoya so much.
Man. I love you, Hoya. I've
been checking out so many of his podcast episodes. I've been listening to a bunch of
them. And we got to do his podcast.
Yeah, but we got to get on.
Podcast, we got to tell them that we are the Latinos that are number one. We are number one. Casa de Hoya, his podcast number two. We number one. Diablo's dead all day.
E, what have you been, what's been going on this week? Like, what have you been up to? How was the,
you
got a mad shit, right? You were working recording.
No, I was recording. I did R.A. the Rugged Man. Shout out to R.A. the Rugged Man. He did
a
video.
I saw you shooting that. That was sick.
He did a video with Master Killer, Ghostface Killer, and Coogee Rap.
That's dope. That's cool that you got to meet all those dudes and shit.
Yeah, Coogee Rap's from the neighborhood, but it was cool talking to him. And Coogee Rap's boy Stan was from the neighborhood. We all just talked about the neighborhood. It was cool. So me, Peter Green, Big Lito, Joe Fado. We had to take COVID tests. We all got negative, but now Big Lito is positive. He's positive. Tommy's positive.
No,
we don't even know where Peter Green is. He might be dead. So I gotta go by his house tomorrow to make sure that nigga ain't dead. You mean so? So that's what I'm just trying to say. And Joe Fado is running around after hours and on Roosevelt after hours with no mask, and he thinks it's cool. Fuck you, Fado.
Guys, as you can see, 21, we are going hard on Diablo's Den podcast.
Are we on the network now?
So the next episode, I'm gonna take responsibility on this because there's a lot of technical shit on the back end to do. But me and Ezek do have an announcement coming very soon. I'm gonna wait till we do that. But on the next episode, I think we're gonna have something big to talk about that we're really excited about. But let's jump into today's.
Can I say one more thing?
You could say whatever you want.
I just want to say another thing is like, I do not tolerate racism at any point. You know what I mean? Like, and knowing that Jay's Cuban and I'm Puerto Rican Jewish, which mixed the Cuban, the same thing with us. We're all mixed with the Indian on the island. The Spaniards came in and blacks for the slave. So, you know, it's like when people say talk shit, it's because we look a certain way. You know, we are Latinos and we have African blood in us and we're fucking. And I'm saying that this racist shit, I don't give a fuck what you are. You mean like you can be left, right, green. I don't give a fuck what you are. I don't fuck politics. You know what I mean? So all you people who are like, let this racist shit slide, suck my dick. That's all. And Chubby Fresh once again, suck my dick again.
So there you heard it. So yo, we have a good show today though.
All right. Yes, we do. We have the first guest we have is, oh, first guest is someone I grew up with from Astoria, Queens. Everyone on this thing today is from Astoria, Queens. So our first guest today is Dimmy Duvas, Dim Rock.
I'm going to
send Scarhead, him. I'm
going to get him in here. Just
we're trying to get them again right now.
Yep.
Dimmy.
So while we get Dimmy in, E, what have you been watching this week? I've been watching, Viv's got me watching, she loves this show called 1,000 Pound Sister you heard me right. 1,000 Pound Sister. It's on, you should ask Storm about it. I feel like this is something she'll make you watch. But we've been watching it. It's fucking insane. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but the title says it all. 1,000 Pound Sisters on TLC. Viv's got me watching that.
I watched the Storm. Of course, she likes horror and weird shit. She the Richard Ramirez thing on Netflix.
All right, we're here with the first guest of the night, and this is going to be a really, I think, for the fans of the show, a very hilarious conversation. I want to welcome, to the show, Dimmy. Mostly known from Scarhead, but I want to welcome Dimmy from Scarhead to Diablo's Den podcast.
Yes, Dimmy.
What up?
I wasn't gonna try to say your last name because I know that I would say
Duvas.
We call him Dimmy the Greek, everyone.
Dimmy the Greek.
That is Malakas from all over the world. Dimmy Duvas.
Dimmy, what's Sick good, intro. Man? How are you doing?
Chilling, my brother. Everything's good. You know what I mean? Just surviving. You know what I mean? Holding it down. That's it.
Yeah.
So where are you right now, Dimmy? Tell where you are.
I am in Astoria, Queens, the Mecca, center of
New York hardcore.
And New York hardcore.
Yeah, and also, he's rocking the culture hat. Shout out to Dref.
Independent business, you know what I mean?
Hell yeah. Got to support those now more than ever.
All day, yes, definitely.
Dimmy, so I want to ask you, what we mostly ask is, like, what the fuck have you been doing in this pandemic? Like, what did you have planned? I know that, obviously, you've been playing shows with Danny, so you guys had shows. Tell us.
We had the biggest tour ready to go, and the New York hardcore curse hit us.
Yeah,
go ahead, Dimmy. Tell us a little bit about that.
It was more like Mayday. It was like that. We had big plans. We were supposed to go on tour with Crown of Thorns, Sick of It All, Agnostic Front, and COVID hit. And we've been waiting since, you know what I mean? Although we really can't do anything else, you know what I mean? Just like everybody else, we're waiting, you know? So we just try to stay positive, try to work on new material, and just try to, you know, laminate our game, you know what I mean? That's it.
Yep.
That's all we can do, you know what I mean? Stay home in the think tank and think about new ways and new vibes.
Also,
and that,
Dimmy and I, and Zach, we wrote the Scarhead EP, the new EP that's coming out, Generators of Violence.
I want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Dimmy, I've been a fan of Ezak's from before. What's it like for you to like playing together for him and writing for someone like him? Like what's the experience like for you?
It's the fucking best. It's natural. It's like breathing. You know what I mean? Yep. It's nothing. You know what I mean? Like the way we wrote this Generators of Violence record was exactly the way we wrote the very, very first Scarhead we did. You know what I mean? Like when I got together with him, the New York's Hardest Comp was supposed to happen. We went there. It was supposed to be Crown of Thorns recording. You know what I mean? We were supposed to do, but our bass player was in 108 and Shelter and he had previous stuff to do. We got there and we all looked at each other and like, now what? You know, now we just, should we record without him and have Mike play bass? Or like, and we were just like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's birth this new band because Hoya came down with us.
Yeah.
Mundy, like, we all went down to the studio together and birthed. I mean, you stole the name from MQ, but that's all good.
Yeah.
It was MQ's band originally, Scarhead.
MQ called Scarhead. And last was Scarhead.
Exactly. So we kind of like flipped it from there. It was crazy. Like the way it just went down was all just spur of the moment. Like, you know what I mean? It happened so fast. Like,
yeah, those tracks are fucking crazy.
I was
done on some other level. Like, we got there and like literally we got lost going to the studio.
Jimmy, tell us all this. Listen, and Bundy was with us. Yo, yes. the shout out to Jimmy Gestapo, Jimmy G, because he's the one that gave me all the mescaline in the cigarette thing. Remember? And I ate all the mescaline. Me, Bundy, and Hoy, we ate all the mescaline. I ate hits of mescaline.
Oh,
and we couldn't find the studio for like 2 hours. Remember? We were talking to the guy, fucked up. Big Blue Meanie.
That was the best right there.
Yo, Dimmy, so when you let me ask a little bit about New York's Hardest. So like when you recorded those songs in the studio, did you know you had a feeling? Because those songs obviously hit a certain way when they came out. Fans, like, did you know you had something special there, or were you like,
hell no?
No.
We just went in there. I was literally like, you know, I saw Hoya and Mike like, you know, throwing out riffs and just jamming, you know what I mean? Getting down, you know, and I just try to get out their way, and I waited till they had a little something built up together. And then I said, all right, let's get together a little bit, man, you know, make this happen, you know? So I was actually recording my track in a basement, so I didn't even see what they were doing, you know what I mean? They were upstairs in a control room, and I was in a basement, and they saw me on a monitor. So they were watching what I was doing on a monitor. It was kind of crazy.
Do you remember?
So I was just happy we got out of it with, like, one of the fucking, you know, to me, one of the best recordings I was ever on, you know what I mean? And I've been on a lot of recordings, you know?
Jimmy, do you remember when we're in the van, and we had no music, and I was humming the words to the mic. I was like,
it was a lot of shit going on back then, you know? Like, we got lost getting there. Like, by the time we got there, we were all just, oh shit, we got to record now. Like, damn, we didn't have anything, you know? Like, literally, like, okay, let's start riffing and let's start going, you know? And that's how everything really, that was the birth of Scarhead, you know? Fitting.
Yeah, that's.
It was really a fitting birth if you think about it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. We've had some really great Scarhead episodes here. And I always just, again, as a fan, love hearing, you know, those stories. So talk about now 2020, 2021. You know, Danny says, you know, you get a call or a text and he's like, yo, new Scarhead, let's go. What are you thinking? Are you there? Or you're just like, I got a bunch of questions before I jump in? Or
never, ever.
No, Jimmy's right. Jimmy's right. My partner in crime.
Listen, I'm a free spirit. Everybody knows that. You know what I mean? You tell me fucking this way, let's go. You know what I mean? That's how I rock. I don't question. I don't fucking throw out fucking, oh no, and this. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Just point your way
and let's do it. You know what I mean?
It's your life. It's your life.
Exactly. I breathe this shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's from my neighborhood too. Astoria has a huge part to play in hardcore to me. You know what I mean? And how it helped me progress as a human being. It was a catalyst to how many bands I was in too. Like, if I wasn't in Astoria, forget about it. There was no way I'd be able to get to all these bands that I played in too. You know what I mean? So it was just, it's crazy. And Scarhead now, to be back in Scarhead too, that he called me back and he was like, yo, let's do this again. You know what I mean? And write a new record. I was all in, you know what I mean? all in. We got on the plane. We didn't have anything. Me, him, and Zach, we didn't have anything. We got on the plane and we flew there and and we came back with a record. You know what I mean?
Crazy, man.
In a weekend.
Zach is such a fucking awesome guitar player, man.
Like, I love Zach. Man, Zach's one of the best songwriters out there.
He's such a fucking, he's such a dope guitar player, man. You know, whether it's fucking, you know, Agents or fucking, you know, any.
Can I tell you something? Zach doesn't get the props he does in New York hardcore.
Yeah.
There's people that get props. And I, you know, we brought Matty Pasta in when I was playing with Zach. Matty Pasta creeped in to Scarhead and got Zach got married and all that stuff. Then Matty Pasta took over. So working with Mike DeJean, working with Zach, and working with Matty Pasta are three of the best New York hardcore guitar players. I played them against everyone. And Matty Pasta Manny Pasta has the soul of like how Todd Youth was. Todd Youth is the best rest in peace, was the best New York hardcore guitar player. Well, he had so much soul. You mean? So Manny Pasta had that, but Zach could write better than everyone. Yo, listen, a lot of these guys could write a dope, but they can't write like that.
Too, for days. I could roll with
he writes better than these guys.
It's insane.
Zach, I love you. Even though you're from Jersey, Zach, I love you.
Yeah. Even though you're from the home of a Toxic Avenger.
No, I was saying it's interesting to me too that you guys go and do records with nothing written, just like, yo, let's go for it.
That's how it's supposed to be.
You know what? We did that with the very, very first one. The Drugs, Money, Sex was kind of written like that. So yeah. I felt like Generators of Violence. I haven't done a Scarhead record in so damn long. I said, you know what? We should do the same fucking vibe. Go in there and just let that shit out. Raw energy. You know what I mean? Whatever off the top, and that's it. You know, like Fire and Desire. That's it. So that's what we did.
Right.
Thank you, Force 5 Records. Thank you, Donnie.
Shout out to God. Force 5 Records now have a real hardcore band, Scarhead, on the label.
For real.
Oh, yeah.
Force 5 all day. Ruckus!
I was waiting for that.
So, Jimmy, outside of Scarhead, what else you been working on?
I was playing with Still Suit. We had like a little reunion. We got back together. We recorded some new stuff. We did a podcast. So the Still Suit thing.
Who was I talking to in Still Suit about trying to get some back catalog reissued?
Julian?
I was talking to Julian actually. Yeah.
Right.
Because the Green Spock ears was back up or something. But yeah, I love Still Suit, man. That record that you guys did with Don Fury on Building Records is like.
Thank you.
That shit was dope, man. I played in a band called Voice Reason that recorded with Don right around the same time as he had Building and shit, man. And I remember when that record came out, man. I still got the CD, Dimmy. That shit was dope, dude.
Thank you. We caught like the last of like record labels, you know what I mean? Like the tail end of the record industry, you know what I mean? And we were lucky enough to catch TVT, who was kind of like a major.
Yeah, no, they had like Inch Nails at the time. KMFDM, right? I think was on there. Fucking bands.
It was bugged out because when we got signed, they signed Seven Dust, then they signed.
Yep, Seven Dust.
Seven Dust. Signed, I toured with them.
Yeah, nice guys. VOD. They signed VOD too for a while. They had VOD.
Yeah,
the label.
That from Bliss to Devastation record was on TV. Yeah, right. TVT was a monster, man.
Yeah, they had Lil Jon, East Side Boys. Yeah.
Well, Lil Jon was probably filming all the metal and rock records that were being made.
What? Yeah.
Right.
Dimmy, tell me a little bit about Still Suit for the listeners who aren't familiar, because if you're a fan of Crown of Thorns, Still Suit isn't too far removed musically from it, with because it's got the groove. I mean, vocally, maybe.
I am much taller than Julian, better looking.
Exactly.
but Julian's a queen. Shout out to Julian.
For people who don't know, tell the listeners a little bit about that band, because I do think there might be some crossover there with some fans of our show who would listen to Still Suit for sure.
Yeah, Still Suit is definitely, it came out of like the Bond Street era, I want to say, because we played a lot of Bond Street shows. You know what I mean? And we played a lot of us, Still Suit, Shift, a couple other bands. Doggy Dog did their thing in Bond Street. Life Agony did their thing in Bond Street.
Yeah.
So it was like a weird little scene going there just at that club, and we played that club a lot, and we did really well there. Packed shows, whatever.
Who did you fight in there?
Mad TMR kids out there. I remember me and Shavar fought out there, and now me and Shavar are best friends. Shout out to Shavar and TMR.
Word.
That's how it is. You know what I mean? You get older and you realize the guys you have problems with are exactly the same as you.
Yeah. No.
And you're boy,
not always, because there's some other fuckers I hate that I don't give a fuck and never. I don't even want to know if we're even the fucking. Any similarity, so fuck them, like you said, you know.
But you know, that's what I'm saying. Bond Street Cafe used to have also all the hip hop shows. Yep. Hip hop clubs. Yeah,
Oh my god, let's not get into the Sheets and Pillows stuff because that's a whole up. That's a different episode.
Wait, Jimmy, I got
we can go into stories about just like episodes, whole episodes on just what happened at Sheets and Pillows. Like there was a lot of crazy shit that went down. And I rolled with E at that time with some, like, we were bandmates, but like friends, you know what I mean? We chilled after practice, before practice, you know what I mean? All that other shit, you know what I mean? So we went to a lot of
yeah, jazz, I took Jimmy everywhere. I took you with me, Jimmy. We went everywhere.
For real. We did. But Still Suits, go back to Still Suits for one
second. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about Still Suits.
We have similarities, but I feel like Still Suit was more like quicksand, you know what I mean? Post-hardcore-ish.
Yeah,
you
know? Definitely.
Whereas Crown of Thorns, we had our own lane. We weren't like trying to do polo. We were just doing our own. Like,
no, of course. I'm saying though that there might be...
Mike DeJean was writing riffs that...
When
I first heard him in my basement, I was like, yo, what the fuck? Because I thought he was going to come at me with some like bulldoze, heavy, fast, you know, like hard shit, you know, mad ball, dropping many suckers. Just
he was coming at you with Rush.
I thought he was going to come at me with some riffs like that, you know? And he came at me with this, you know, like almost yes feel, you know? And I was like, yo, you know, wow. I really was like perplexed, like what the fuck do I play to this to make it sound hardcore-ish, you know what I mean? I really didn't even know what to do over it, you know what I mean? So we tried to, like, when we put that early stuff together, we went our own way. We didn't try to follow nobody. We were just, you know what I mean? I don't know where DeJean was coming up with these riffs, but he did, and we just took our own little path, you know what I mean? We took an exit left, you know what I mean? And we went that way. Like, yeah, we weren't trying to sound like Quicksand.
We went on the Interborough instead of the BQE. We were like, come on.
Right. Yeah, no, Jackie Robinson.
Those songs are fucking classics, man. And I mean, everybody, you know, it's a staple about what we talk about on this podcast when we have guests. You know, that's everybody talks to E about how important those records are to them. You know, I mean, dude, even to me as a fan, dude, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like you, Demi, when Isaac asked me to do this show with him a couple of years ago, I was like, fuck yeah, man, let's do this shit. Like, I'm a fan, you know what I mean? And I believe in my brother here and what he's doing and shit, you know? I want to ask you too then. So just to go back on Still Suit for a second, Don Fury, fucking legendary producer,
amazing
individual. I got to recorded so much stuff with him and learned so much. Like, dude, what was it like for you to record and be on his label, for him to pick you guys? Like, was that, you're a hardcore kid, so what's that like?
Yo, hold on. It was way better than working with Tom Sawyer, wasn't it?
Oh my God. Let's not go there, bro, because that's episode of fucking Dredging. That's the episode I don't ever want to talk about. How about that? But the Don Fury episode we could talk about, because it was, you know, it was definitely like his catalog was sick. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like I
Don said, is like, the man.
Quicksand Burn, Youth of Today, Gorilla Biscuits, like
Agnostic he did Front,
Judge, Side by Side. You know what I mean? He did like everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything on Revelation pretty much came out through Spring Street. You know what I mean? It was on Spring Street, the studio. So everything came out from that studio. You know what I mean? He was mad cool with us too. He has such a relaxed
vibe. Yeah, he's always, he went in there.
He pressed record and was like, do your thing. You know what I mean? And I love shit like that. You know what I mean? I don't want fucking somebody on my,
in the little plastic cage, right? In the little,
of course. The sweat bubble. The sweat bubble.
Sweat bubble.
With the striped Twisted Sister drum set. Yeah.
Yep.
It has stripes on it.
Everything works. It sounds organic. Everything sounds organic.
Yeah, because he didn't fuck around. He knew what he did. He had.
He didn't fuck your head. Right?
He pressed record and he let the bands do what they had to do and express themselves. You know what I mean? And that was it.
We learned so much with him, man. Like I said, I was 16, 17 when we first recorded with him. You know, dude, like our drummer was 15. And he was just, dude, we were like starstruck. You know, like it's like you walk in, see all this shit, and it's like, you know, man, it's just a fucking cool experience. And over time, I've only appreciated, I was psyched on it then. But I love it more now that we did stuff at Spring Street. And, you know, so that's why I like to ask you, Demi, you know, because again, you did records there and recorded there. It's just a cool thing, you know? I would think that's a cool vibe.
Oh, Demi. For sure.
Hold on.
It opened doors too, you know what I mean? Meeting him, I met so many other people. We got on TVT and then I got sponsored through Premier Drums. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I had full sponsorship. It was insane. Like for somebody who came from a story, it's from like a bullshit, you know what I mean? I started out in a bullshit high school band, you know what I mean? Like, and then I met E and then shit started popping and like Still Suit started popping.
Yeah, then you played
hit those kind of levels was fantasy.
No, remember that?
Straight fantasy, you know?
Hatebreed.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was, thank Vaughn Lewis for that. My man, Vaughn Lewis. God bless you, Vaughn Lewis, man.
Love you, Vaughn Lewis.
Shout out, Vaughn.
when I stopped playing in Stillsuit, I got a call from Vaughn and was like, yo, Jamie needs a drummer. And I knew Jamie from, obviously, Crown of Thorns. He had come down. He was a young kid when he was coming down, passing out flyers at CB's and whatever, you know? So I had met him through that. So we were cool, but it was just bugged out to be, Vaughn hit me up on some, yo, they need a drummer, would you be down? And I never crossed my mind. Abandoned Connecticut, you know what I mean? And at that time, their first record, Satisfaction, just came out. So I really, you know what I mean? I was like, wow, this is bugged out. You calling me to go play with them? All right, let's fuck with it. I went out there, I met Sean Martin. We sat down, vibed out. All right. Sean Martin's the man. Martin's love you. Love all the guys in the band. R.I.P. Boulder. You know what I mean? I met him. It was Boulder, surreal shit, you know what I mean? Because a week before that, their record just dropped, or 2 weeks before it just dropped. I just heard it for the first time. I never thought they would hit me up to like, oh, you want to jam? You want to, you know, fill in for a little while? It was like, word, you know? And my first show with them was New England Death Metal Fest. We played with Morbid Angel. Bananas, you know what I mean? Banana shit, you know what I mean? I with Hatebreed, I enjoyed so much, not the 45 minutes that we were on stage, the 24/7 where we were chilling, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I got. It was fantasy, you know what I mean? That was the best time of my life, you know what I mean?
We played
big tour. We went on tour, Scarhead and Motorhead, the infamous tour. They dropped it.
Wait, time out. Tell him.
Scarhead last on that tour.
wait, tell him what happened in Cleveland. When I jumped out of the van,
Jay Reason, check this out. So me and Chris Beattie, we like to throw the ball around before, you know, the shows. You know what I mean? So we got gloves. We're throwing the ball around. Like, we're getting ready to play, throwing the ball around. We went to the front of the club to throw the ball around. So it was early in the day, like sound check shit, you know? So we're hanging out in front of the club. Cops rolled up all of a sudden. They're like, you and you get in the car. We're like, what? You match a description. What? Take us in the car. They take us to the fucking precinct. Some kid there, all tattooed. And we're like, what the fuck's going on here? Points to both of us. Whatever. Cops are like, that him? No. The kid like was like, nah, it's not him. So he fucking just let us go. We were like, what was that about? So we get back to the fucking, we had a little RV rented out. We get back to the RV. Who we see in there? This dude right here. Laughing with that same smile. And I'm like, yo, I put one and one right away because he was hiding out. You know, he's like, he's like, it did something. I say, who did you punch, man? What the fuck happened, bro? Why did they want me? Why did they think I was you? Or why did they think Chris Beattie was you? You know what I mean? Like, what happened? Yeah. Well, what did happen, kid? I mean, seriously.
What happened? Oh, listen. We're driving the Scarhead van, and all of a sudden I saw Chubby Fresh talking on the phone in the payphone. Like talking to people, like he was scouting out the place, like talking, yo, he's not here, I'm over here, whatever. So the second I said, yo, stop the van, they wouldn't stop the van. So I jumped out of the van while I was going like 15 miles per hour, jumped out, ran up to him, punched that nigga dead in his fucking face. I was like, what up, nigga? Plow! He's like, I never seen a fat guy run so fast. I hit him like twice on the phone, he ran crying. Yo, he called the cops. He actually called the cops on me. And I had paperwork on him. He's a snitch. Chubby Fresh, Tony Pines is a snitch, and he's a fat fucking racist. And I'll do it again, Your Honor.
Amen. So, yo, on that note, we're going to wrap up.
On that note, I didn't get locked up. I went back to the Winnebago, and he was there laughing his ass off. They got kicked off the tour, like Scarhead at that time. I wasn't in Scarhead, so they got kicked off the tour. It was crazy. It was Banana's tour.
Let me rest in peace.
Yeah, let me rest in peace, man. He took me under his wing, man. He was a great guy. He was like me. He loved gambling like me. So we used to link up and go to casinos. He was the greatest dude.
Yeah, he loved gambling, too.
Then, forget it. Like me. You know what I mean? He was the best.
True Greek with gambling.
Real quick story. One time I was sound checking. Me and Mickey D, the drummer, we were having a drink at the bar. So sound check came up. My guys was like, yo, you got a sound check. I was like, damn, I got to go. He was like, I'll come check you out. I go start playing, whatever. Sound check finishes. I get off. He's like, hey, mate, you got a crack cymbal you're playing with? I was like, yeah, shit's, you know, tough times, you know, hardcore, you know? And he was like, mate, you can't play with no crack cymbals. Oi, he called one of his roadies. Boom. He fetched me a cymbal like within fucking minutes, like on some fucking FBI shit, breaks me a brand new cymbal, replaces it for me. I'm like, I'm like, yo, how much I owe you, bro? He's like, oh, nothing, nothing. He's like, come on, I'm sponsored, mate. It's all good. Mickey D looked out. You know what I mean? The greatest guy.
That's fucking awesome, man.
Now he plays with the Scorpions, too, fucking. So that's some fantasy awesome, shit. You know what I mean? The guy's got a fantasy, like, list of bands that he's played with. You know what I mean? Like, and to be hooked up by somebody like that was great. Surreal, cool. You know? Surreal cool. Stuff.
That's cool, man. So, yo, Dimmy, before we let you go, where can everybody catch up with you online? What are you working on? Give everybody a little quick elevator pitch on what's going on before we wrap up.
Well, the new Scarhead, which is coming out real soon. He's going to go there soon and laminate the rest with Joe Fatal and a couple other special guests. You know, that's going to drop real soon on Force 5 Records. Thank you, Donnie. So that's what I've been hardcore-wise, that and the Still Suit. I've been working on the Still Suit. We got a couple of new songs that we did that Axe to Grind podcast. We did like a live
shout out Axe to Grind. Those are our boys.
Big shout out. Yeah, big time.
Axe to Grind.
So we're gonna try to like put those things together slowly. You know what I mean? Ain't no rush.
Hey, Dimmy,
really,
don't forget I got a label, Static Era. You know, man.
You got the record store, kid. I got a label
and a store. Don't forget. I'd like to make an offer on Still Suit when the demos are ready. So make sure they come across. Like Julian knows, I had talked to him before. So make sure that comes across my desk. You heard it here first. I'd like to make an offer. Dimmy, where can people find you online? Where can we hit you up on Instagram, Facebook, all the good stuff?
Instagram only. I don't fuck with anything else. Instagram only. Dimrock 11.
Dimrock.
All right, awesome.
And that's it. And then you could catch me live, you know, whenever we're playing shows, come through, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you'll definitely hear about any shows and stuff here on the podcast, man. All right, well, Dimmy, thank you so much for joining us tonight,
man. Thank you, Jay Reason.
Call your room, Dimmy.
Yeah, always.
Please go gay.
Center of the universe. That's all you got to know.
The Mecca. Queens, the Mecca of hardcore.
It is the Mecca. Murphy's Law, Leeway. Come on, stop playing.
We got our next guest is Jimmy G, man. So shout out to everybody.
You got the Jimmy Dimmy show. Come on, stop playing.
Shout out to everybody.
Victoria Rules episode.
I went to high school with his brother Johnny. All good, you know.
Yeah, we're gonna bring that up.
I went to junior high school 10 with him. I went to
Johnny's
10.
The best. Johnny's the best. You know what I mean? Charmers. Still works at Charmers, bro. All day. Love it.
I worked at Chalmers, and Joe Bruno worked at Chalmers.
See,
I met Joe Bruno through my father.
Wow, your dad was security over there, right? He was running shit, right?
Yeah.
Wow, I remember you were working up in there because I met you.
I worked there for like three, 4 years.
Yeah, we started playing handball across the street on your.
I worked. Basketball, handball.
Awesome, man. Well, Dimmy, we will catch up with you soon.
Love you, Dimmy.
All right. See you, my brother.
We're back with one of the guests that me and Danny have been waiting a long time to have. So I want to welcome to the Corona Chronicles. Everybody welcome Jimmy G from Murphy's Law.
Hey!
Hey! What's up, Jimmy?
Jimmy, how are you, man?
Hey, wait, I'll be right how back.
How you doing?
Hang on.
Okay.
I've been laying low, dude. I grew my hair back.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I grew a beard, grew my hair back.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. It throws me off, dude. You look totally...
$10 Amazon! looks good on Zoom.
Oh, looks great. Yeah, it's funny. You almost look like a LA rock producer guy or something, right? Like
I got that classic Todd Youth hairdo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Man, let me take this off. It's fucking hot and itchy. There we go. That's the guy we love
and
hate.
That's the guy we know.
I got plastic hair in my eye.
Yo, Jimmy, so thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, technical shit. There was a bunch of stuff always
happening. I got nothing else to do. I'm sitting here in a goddamn pandemic.
Yeah, let's talk about that because that's affected. Murphy's Law is one of the fucking bands you go to see. The New Year's Eve. There are so many things I missed. So let's talk a little bit about that. How bad does this suck for as a Murphy's Law fan? Well, we haven't been able to party.
You know, we all complain, you know, like it's never going to go away or anything. We never thought that a pandemic would stop our music scene because nothing stopped our music scene. You know, police at shows, you know, doing illegal shows. Everyone's like, why don't you guys go do underground shows? I was like, that's how we started. But now when we did underground shows, it was because the shows were illegal and there were no liquor licenses. Now, there's a health risk factor. I don't want to get some fucking kid sick and he goes home and kills his grandmother with this shit. You know, yeah. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not running around with a mask on unless I'm inside and around fucking other frightened people. But I'm not going to do a show until something's figured out where I'm not going to get sued and ruin my life. Because there's some already kids fall down and break their pinky and sue the club and the band and sue everybody. I don't need some kid realistically me killing somebody being responsible for that and have that on my back.
No, that's a really good point.
Aunt Bertha's dead because Jimmy spit beer in my face. And look, I'm so embarrassed. Behind me is the box for the MIDI keyboard I bought to try to keep myself busy.
Well, no, there's a GoFundMe for Aunt Bertha.
What was it? Mad Marge. Large Marge.
Large Marge.
Large Marge. Total Marge.
Hang on, let me check. Oh, there we go. There was a dot behind me. I'm trying to get the right lighting in here. Oh, there we go.
There,
oh,
you go.
Hey, yeah,
there
we go.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
The miracle of LED desk lighting.
Hey, Jimmy, you guys did do a live stream, though. That was really cool. How did that come together? You didn't like it. Okay. Talk a little bit about that experience.
And I'll do it on your guys' show. We're playing on New Year's Eve. I keep looking this way because that's where the fucking camera is. If I look this way, I can't see you guys. This whole shit is so awkward.
It's crazy, right? I don't know what to do. I'm like,
I don't know. I can't even share these mushrooms I got with you.
Oh man. That's my favorite thing.
Or any of these other packages I have. I've been on the wagon for 2 weeks. No, actually, it's been fucking lame. There's nothing, you know, we play plenty of empty shows, but that's by the choice of the people. Anybody can just walk in the door and come see you. It's another thing to play a show in front of 8 cameras and the state is telling you that no one's allowed to come in. But they're telling us that masks will protect us. Then why can't my fans and friends come in with masks on? You know, they're telling us that masks are safe, but they're releasing fucking criminals from prisons because it's not safe. Well, it's not safe to let criminals out of prisons, is it? To us, this whole thing is a fucking joke and a clusterfuck. They don't know what they're doing. You know, do you got a Joker poker machine behind you?
Yeah, I got Mortal Kombat. Yeah.
It's just it's a joke. It's you know, now Cuomo's doing his governor's ball, but you don't see anybody else booking shows or concerts. Cuomo's a fucking prick. We thought Giuliani was a dick. Boy,
I was gonna say, man, how spot on was that?
Giuliani is—he could sit on my lap and give me a kiss right now. Jesus Christ, we hated his guts. Now, you thought he was a problem? Wait till this next fucking 4 years of comedy comes in.
You know who's the worst? De Blasio. Oh my God,
the Bozo.
He's fucking the worst in the world.
Shit rolls downhill and it lands with the turd. You know, it starts with cocksucker Cuomo and it lands at De Blasio. But you know, now we got all our wonderful punk rock hardcore friends that all of a sudden have sucked Bernie Sanders' dick and whoever else that president is. What's his name? Biden. He should be president for about 45 minutes before he dies. He's 80 years old. 80 years old. The guy's been in politics for almost 50 years and has done nothing. What job do you work at for 47 years and do nothing and become the boss? American presidency. That's it. You know, America. Go figure.
America.
I'm not picking sides. The fucking orange guy was no fucking gift to us either. Country's a fucking mess.
No, Murphy's Law is always about partying. Fuck pot. One of the one things.
Fuck politics.
It's the politics of partying, gentlemen.
The one thing we love the most about Diablos then is that we don't talk about none of that stuff here.
Wait, you know what we talk about? We know what we talk about right now. Listen, Jimmy, you know what we talk about Diablos then?
I got a pimple on my head.
We talk about cocaine etiquette.
That's what I was gonna say. If they shut down fucking Columbia, then we'll talk politics.
One time I yelled at Slane. I said he had before he became sober. I said he had the worst cocaine etiquette in the world. I was like, you know, when you're all hanging out and doing coke, and one guy goes, and you're going to the end of the cocaine, and you're like, oh, don't you have a bag? And he goes, no, I don't have a bag. Then he runs into the bathroom. You hear him. I'm like, fuck you.
That is bad.
That's the worst cocaine etiquette in the world.
That is bad. I did one time. We were in a hotel room, and we had like another eight ball, which is a lot. And everyone—that's a lot to be missing. And everyone's like, "Where is it, Jimmy? Where is it?" I'm like, "I don't know." Everybody finally gives up. When everybody, 50 people sleeping in a hotel room, miserable, trying to sleep. We get up the next morning. The fucking bag stuck to the side of my head.
Oh man.
So, needless to say, the day started out pretty interesting.
That's great. Jimmy, I was talking. I wanted to talk to Jay about first of all, you're from Astoria, Queens, the mecca of the world.
It's
mecca
where,
of hardcore.
It's
mecca
where of rock hardcore. And hardcore are born and, yep. and made. Yeah, Brooklyn. I say it all the time. Brooklyn. Yeah, okay, whatever. Whatever,
Queens. Tell them, Jimmy. Tell them.
Hipsters, Brooklyn, hip-hop and rock and roll is in Queens.
Yes.
Run DMC, Queens. Kiss, Queens. I think it's like Queens. Urban Waste, Queens, Reagan Youth, Queens, Kraut, Queens, Killing Time, Queens.
Paul Simon.
All the Jews, Queens.
Ramones, Queens.
Speaking of Jews,
Ramones. Queens. Ramones.
That's, yeah. Everybody. Well, what else you got? Wait. That's it. What comes
Bernadette Peters.
White Castle.
White Castle.
Angel Dust, Forest Park, Queens.
QPs.
Oh, QPs. Quarter pounds.
The Bryant High School. Junior High School 10.
I didn't make it that far. Punk rock ruined my life.
You know, well, so I'm going to, let's talk about punk rock ruining lives and starting. Cause I'm going to go back a couple episodes where Jimmy, I can't remember if we were talking to Tim Bohr or something, but I had mentioned that the first time and one of my first early experiences in hardcore and booking shows ever was booking Murphy's Law at the Tune-In, probably 1995 in New Haven, Connecticut. And I remember posting on a message board to try to book you guys, and Tim Bohr sent me an email, and that's how I found you. And ever since then, man, I have been such a big fan, and
thank you, bro.
A very full circle moment to have you on the show. But I always like telling that story because hardcore has always been this like accessible thing where the guy, you know, like everybody's for the most part very friendly and wants to help you get started and stuff. So I always appreciated, man, you being super. Well,
and then the internet happened, and everybody fucking hates each other and stabs each other in the back.
Yeah, the internet has definitely ruined a lot of things, man. But
our good friend Rick Healy sent me a message. I thought he just exclusively hated you now, Danny, but I got a message.
We all had our turn. What did he say to you?
He called me a druggy clown. I said, well, wow, the news is out now. at least he's not lying now. And then I said to him, I sympathize with the guy because something slipped in his head. I said, Rick, what's the matter? You off your meds again? I said, I never did anything to you. Why are you going to talk down about me? And then I blocked him. That's it.
Yeah. I've been.
What's on his thing? He's trying to call me a loser. I'm a loser. I'm just finishing my record right now and then starting my reggae record. And doing, you know, I just put out a bobblehead. He's a nipplehead. I'm a bobblehead. Fuck him. He's still selling cassettes. Who wants a fucking cassette player?
Yeah, you know what it is, Jimmy? When people see that you're doing good and you're still going strong and you're still relevant, these people get upset and they're on the computers and they bug out. They can't say it to your face, right?
Fucking hate is gonna hate. Yo, you guys are gonna laugh. On the bottom of the screen, there's a little red thing. It says leave. I thought it said love.
Oh.
I was like, that's how fucked up my glasses are. I hit the love button. Everyone disappeared.
Yeah.
I mean, just even talking about what Danny was just saying. I mean, Jimmy, you've had such a fucking long and interesting, not even just in music, dude, just your career and path. Like,
what happens when you do drugs and wander the streets for 24 hours?
Well, you know
what?
I would say
something about Jimmy G. I know Jimmy from, I went to school with his brother John,
I don't talk to him anymore.
I know, but listen. we're eighth grade together, so me and John steal his weed.
My Manila dime bags that my cousin Billy used to sell in the park. We used to have a scanner, a police scanner. And this is how long ago it was. We're at the park, the sanitation park here. He used to sit on the bench. And I used to go back and forth with VHS cassette, the plastic cassette boxes, the black ones you'd get from the rental place. And they'd be full of bags. And I'd bring that and hand him the cassette box. And he'd hand me the other one with the money in it. And we'd just go back and forth with the boxes.
Returning videotapes.
So my first show was ever a Halloween show at the Grand. At Murphy's Law, Jimmy put Crown Thorns on in 1993.
That's awesome.
It was our first show ever. And that was Crown Thorns' start. How crazy is that?
You know, it reminds me of some words. My friends look out for me like family.
Jimmy, let's go back to the early days, man, because I know that's a lot of the shit that people want to like talk about.
That was back when fucking sex was dirty and the air was clean.
And that's the shit I want to know about. So when, like, looking back, like, obviously you've seen things like Godfathers of Hardcore and all these things. Like, what is it like to see the footage of your friends and even of yourself? Like,
doing movies about themselves.
Well, just like, what is it like to take that in? You know what I mean?
I think it's great because our format of the way, obviously what we're doing now is quite different, and everybody should use it for good instead of evil. I mean, back when I started out, it was flyers. Here's a flyer. Imagine trying to talk shit on a flyer.
Oh my God, you'd be...
Only 20 people would know. Rick would go completely unnoticed. But, you know, on a serious note, and then getting to shows, you put up fucking GPS and everywhere you go now. And then when you get to the show, what's around the show? It's like, it's so easy now.
I mean, dude, we used to hop on the Metro North. I remember, and it would just be like, you'd walk around and hopefully you'd find your way to, you'd follow the kids wearing the shirts or the punk rock, you know, you'd find somebody who looked.
Yeah. Remember that?
I mean, dude, that's how me and Yvonne would go to found wetlands, like going to show
that cool feeling though, when you discovered something. Oh, fuck, I was like, now it's like, you are here.
now you could just check into some shit you're not even at. So that's what sucks. It's like, you could just fucking be online. But I mean, that's what's one of the cool things as a fan, Jimmy, is just like watching your legacy, like, dude, whether it's seeing footage of you in Godfathers of Hardcore or in Beastie Boys videos or all this shit, dude, you've had such a story to you, dude. But like, it's always been Jimmy, like, you've never been something else. Like, again, so what's it like all these years later when you see shit like that? Is it just a fucking trip, or you're just like,
I want it to keep happening. I want to do more fun shit. All right, I'm recuperated. I'm ready to go on tour again and fuck myself up some more. But I think the pandemic saved my life, really, because if I kept going the way I was going, like, we were in Japan when the pandemic was going.
Yeah.
I mean, we played up until March 16th. We played, I think it was the 15th or the 16th, we played Boston. We were the last live band to play in Boston. You know,
that's crazy.
I don't see the, I don't see those other Murphys doing that.
Oh, God.
You very quickly just mentioned that you guys are working on
my new keyboard. I can't make sound effects.
You were mentioning that you guys are working on new music, and I've been seeing that you've been doing some recording. Tell us a little bit about what are you working on over there? Like,
It's like, not like I normally say, record's coming out soon. I have one more song to do on this record, and I don't know if everybody knows that Raven's not playing with us anymore because he's ancient.
Shout out to Raven.
It was very difficult to travel with him. So I don't want, you know, sax anymore unless it's necessary. And, you know, I don't want to throw sax in for every song.
Right.
And now for the new record, it's all going to be hardcore stuff, old school hardcore stuff. And then, because a lot of kids complain about the ska song and stuff. So we're doing, no pun intended, we're doing one dedicated hardcore punk record and the reggae ska record. Two separate records. I sell twice as many records, but.
Yeah, yo, that's great. Yo, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Get me on one of those songs. Get me on a reggae song, Oh, that's it. Thank you.
I'm in right here.
Can you announce what label's doing it, or do we not know yet? Or
Jimmy Records.
Awesome. Good, man.
I'm coming into some money and I'm going to fund everything myself.
Awesome. That's
the best way to do it. And sell it to distros as opposed to having someone else do it and wonder where my money is.
Yeah.
I'll know where my money is.
Well, you know what, too? You can do a very good like direct to fan campaign, especially Murphy's Law fans, when you could fucking crush it. I'm always happy to help you with that, man. That's what I do in my day to day job. So if you need any help,
please.
Let me know.
I'm not done. We're also doing a concept record. And it's funny enough to say it, but we're doing a record. I need to study more on what the time is on a 10-inch record. But obviously, everything's coming out on vinyl with a digital download card. No more CDs, because CDs are bullshit, as we knew when they first came out. They're good. They're good in the studio for like, let me get mixes, and here you go. Here's a CD. But to sell your final creation on a CD. Anyway, we're doing a concept record, and it's gonna be a flyer pasted onto the sleeve. It's gonna look like a show. All the band's names on the flyer are the songs on the record.
Oh, that's cool.
So for instance, and obviously these are gonna be some of the songs, Agnostic Front is gonna be a song. Sick of It All is gonna be a song.
Oh, Drum cool. Bag
is gonna be a song. Crown of Thorns, baby.
Thank you.
That's great.
Well, give me chance to stick something in there.
Killing Time. I mean, a lot of our friends, and now bands' names suck, but a lot of our friends came up with great names for bands. And I don't know why it took me to figure this out, because I'm an idiot, but they're all great song titles.
So,
and I can also use it to make fun of my friends again.
Thank you.
But that's pretty cool, right?
That's cool. It's a cool concept that I'm I can't wait to see how that's.
No one's ever done it.
No, no one's ever done it. No, that's cool. I've never seen it.
You know what else I'm doing? Here we go. What? This is what happens when I'm locked in this room for fucking months. You guys are going to crack up. You're going to laugh. My new guitar player, Ben, who's great. His girlfriend, wife, is very crafty. So she's making puppets of me and Felipe.
Oh, that's great.
So everybody every day is asking me to do podcasts, so I'm doing a puppet podcast.
Like Crank Yankers.
But no, it's me as a puppet and Felipe as a puppet, and we're going to be
on the best. But you guys are, yeah, that's cool.
I love it.
That's good. That's real good, bro.
Puppet Pandemic Party Podcast.
Puppet, you guys are puppeteers.
Chicks love puppets too, dude.
Yo, you can be a ventriloquist, don't you do it? You'd be a this is a great time to be a ventriloquist.
That's a good.
Yo, Jimmy, put the mask on. Jimmy.
What?
Just put the mask on.
What? Which one? I got a closet full of masks. This is a mask. Blah, and I come up.
Hey, Jimmy, let me ask you about playing with Misfits.
No. The Misfits were great. They asked.
Yeah, that was. I got to see you guys at that. It was.
Anybody
awesome.
That talks shit about the Misfits, what do they do every day? The people that talk shit about the Misfits.
Yeah,
I'd love to just grab each one of them and go, "What do you do?"
They're
what
listening to them. They're literally listening to the Misfits.
How do you make your living? Glenn Danzig got on stage with his fucking friends dressed like monsters and made $1 million, and they're making fun of them.
No, that show was sick. It was so cool to watch you guys on that stage, man.
Jimmy, I have to say that you are the best ever.
I try.
No, listen, Jimmy. You did. If anyone asks anything, I always tell people that I learned everything from the entertainer. I learned a lot.
You got your gift, brother.
No, I got my gift, but I basically took. I got it from you, Anthony Cominali, and Paul Bearer, and Roger put them together. Hey, what's up?
Speaking of Roger.
But yeah, you also introduced me to a whole bunch of people that I would never, that changed my life. And
then you beat them all up.
And I beat them. Listen. Listen, I'm trying to say something right now. Listen, I want to talk to you right now. This is serious. Like, from your band and the beautiful music you made and the important music you made to help me out through this, I met Jack Flanagan, rest in peace. Todd Youth, rest in peace. You mean Chuck Valley, rest in peace. You mean?
Great, all my friends are dead.
No, Steve Boss.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Rest in peace. I'm saying, but these are people that changed my life, all because of you, Timmy. You introduced that to me.
Thank you. Well, you deserve it. You're my brother.
I love you, Timmy.
I love you too.
Like,
I love you too, Jay. We love Jay too.
We love Jay, Timmy.
But one time I was talking about, I was telling my girl the other day that you took a hit of nitrous from a big tank and you fell on your head on a rock and broken glasses. And I was like, oh, my God. I was hanging out with you as a little kid.
Remember right after that? I went to smoke.
You smell that black.
When I went to smoke the praying mantis, too? Remember that? I went to smoke a praying mantis.
I could not believe that we were hanging out. We were in a meadow.
We were at a dude ranch.
Yeah, that's just the horse, the Rick Delight thing. That's from that dude ranch.
I was riding the horse too, but no, I didn't get so popular on it.
but you turned around. It was a kid from No Redeem Social Value, the black kid, the singer, and you took it and you went rah, rah, and you fell and you hit the rock and you did broken head because you. Your glasses like this. I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, I'll show you guys how to do whippets.
I was like, next thing you know, I was like,
oh my God. No, I thought you died. I was like, oh my God.
No, I'm not dying on whippets, bro. You know, the great thing about Astoria, Queens is I could go on Grubhub right now
and just order whippets.
And I could order whippets. I could order whippets. I can have whippets delivered. I can have rush delivered. Forget it.
Oh my God, that's the fucking man.
Now, if I could only have a companion delivered, I'd be great.
Oh, that's why you get the dog. It's all good.
Dog ain't giving me that kind of love, bro.
you want to hear something crazy, Jimmy? The other day, I heard the song you did, Time.
You never heard that before?
Yo, I was tripping my girl on acid, and we were like, holy shit!
Oh, yo, perfect. It came out good, right?
Yo, you killed it, Jimmy. You fucking killed it.
And let me see if I'm trying to find if I can play one of the new songs for you guys, if you can hear it good. Can you hear me good right now?
Yeah.
I can hear you.
Let me see if I can hear it. That came out good, though, right?
Yo, listen. When did you do that?
1974. That was one of the things that when we were doing that stuff at that studio spa. We did. It was some compilation. You know, of course, people do the compilation. Yeah. I'm like, all right, give me some money, and I'll do the compilation. Here's the song.
No.
And then you never hear it again.
Who played on that?
Ben, that guy Ben. Ben
no,
Gay. Ben Gay.
Ben. Yo, Jimmy, you're right. Yo, you're so right, dude. Back in the day, you would get so many compilation. Like, yo, here's money, and they would never come out.
Well, it's funny now. It's not funny now, but it's now. I have all these people asking us to give them a song.
Yeah, oh no, I hate when they do that. No, fuck
yeah, that's
that.
What I always, my response give is always just song. what's the budget? That's where you just write budget ?
When I was in your bar or club asking for free drinks because I was broke, you weren't giving me drinks.
Yeah.
give me a song. Ooh.
So, and funny enough, like four clubs from Europe are asking us. I'm like, oh, you mean the clubs at Sick of It All, Agnostic Front play four or five times a year and I haven't played in 10 years and they're asking me to give you a song?
Yeah.
Why am I the schmuck that gets the request for benefits and free shit?
I get them too. Jimmy, I get them also, bro.
So what I'm doing for them, we're doing a song called The Situation. That's the working title. And everyone, I'm going to give them all the song. They can have the song. It's the song about the situation. It's the song. Take it.
Everybody just has to use the same song on their comp. Just hear you. Yeah, I love it.
Tough shit. I haven't put a record out in 15 years. You're not looking at anything.
It's so good.
They can share the song. Unfortunately, that's this. Wait, let me see. I got this here. Tell me if you can hear it. Wait. Why isn't it loud? I can't hear. I'm trying to play the song, one of the new songs. I can't play it.
Murphy's Law.
Oh, wait. It is Murphy's Law. Typical shit. It's called Beers in Hell, too. No. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think my phone linked up with something else and it won't play anything. All right. Anyway, you're going to have to wait. That's episode two.
You know what? Typical Diablo's done fashion. We were gonna play you some new music, but you can't.
No, Jimmy, just send it to us. We'll play the song in the middle of the thing.
My turntable's right here, but I don't have it on vinyl. Look what I do have on vinyl sitting right next to me.
Hey, Jimmy, I want to talk a little bit too.
Any stories? Jimmy.
Yes.
Go ahead.
How about any stories that you want to say about like me and you?
I was gonna ask. I like to always ask what the first memory is, Jimmy. So what's your first memory of Danny that you feel?
Oh God.
You could talk about.
First memory. God, yeah. I know Danny a long time. Every memory is always we're laughing and having fun. It's pretty much the same. There's never been a bad memory. I've never had a bad memory, but I've had a lot of bad hangovers hanging out with him.
Oh God.
That was the when I was.
Oh, remember Raw?
My foot got stuck in the stage. I jumped through the stage. My foot got stuck.
You remember how crazy that was?
These guys are beating everybody up in the whole club, and there was a certain motorcycle club there, and they're yelling at me to stop them. I'm like, you guys stop them. You're the motorcycle guys. My problem was I jumped through the stage and the stage folded in and grabbed my leg. I couldn't get out of the stage. That was in Nicky Camp Club. Nicky Camp on that.
Yeah, Nicky Camp.
He just had to close his club. He closed Blackthorn 51.
What?
Yeah, they're done.
Oh poor guy.
I mean, Chip, of course, we were just talking about it. Chip just asked me to play, and Paulie already asked me to play for Kingsland. But we're doing New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Not New Year's Eve. What am I saying? That's it.
I was like, wait a second.
I'm trying to catch up on so many holidays for a year right now. We got a lot of partying to do. We're gonna do St. Patrick's Day at Bowery Electric on one of these stupid stream shows. I have enough problems with streaming with my penis. Never mind with my band.
Oh man. Okay. How do you feel, Jimmy?
I gotta show you. My penis is looking funny. Let me show you guys.
What the fuck is going on? Yeah. You show the paperwork.
When I was in the hospital, I called. I hit the button for the nurse. I was like, nurse, my penis looks funny. She's like, really? And I pulled this out, and I was like, Meanwhile, half dead. It would figure that I would die because of my dick.
Talking about touring, I mean, you guys have been at it for fucking years, man. What are some of your favorite tours that you've been on?
Oh, Jimmy!
The Beastie Boys tour is a good one.
Yeah, I feel like that's one that probably most people want to know about. What are some of your memories? I mean, I know a lot of
Fishbone.
People.
Fishbone.
But
Fishbone was on that tour. We also toured with the Chili Peppers. We toured with the Ramones.
Yeah, you guys played with fucking everybody, man.
For
that's
fucking stupid hardcore band. We got to play some good shows.
A lot of people just want to hang out with you, right, Jim?
People just want to have a good time.
Yeah.
And that chick was wrong. It's not like girls just want to have fun. Everybody wants to have fun.
Yeah, you're right. Jimmy, what are your memories of that of the video, the Beastie Boys video shoot? Because I always like seeing you in that.
We were up all night at A7 and literally went, then you could stay out in New York and be in clubs 24 hours a day because clubs didn't close.
That's
One club closed and after
and just then right to the next.
Then after hours clubs closed. And it's not like you would think after hours clubs, like you're in a seedy basement. After hours clubs, I'm talking about a big fancy club with a line of people waiting to go in, hot girls, bartenders, you know, like a real club. But
that's amazing.
Those ran from like 4:30 in the morning till like noon. So
crazy shit.
Yeah, old New York seems like it was so much fucking fun, man. Like, I just see the videos and, like, all the stuff and hear the stories you guys tell, and I can only imagine how much fun it was.
I'd never, you know, we complain our whole lives, and that's the problem. You keep complaining because it could always get worse. You always say it could always get worse. You're like, how much worse can this get? You know, there's two clubs to go to. Now there's no clubs to go to.
No clubs.
Bars to go to, no restaurants to go to, nowhere to go. You know, even if you try to go out and enjoy a drink, it's like
you
it's like a fucking joke. My local, the local pub, the Keys over here, the poor woman had to build a room in front of the room. So you're inside, but you're outside, but you're still inside. The logic to this fucking thing is so
stupid. It doesn't make sense. Nothing makes sense.
No, nothing
makes sense. That's the name of my new record.
It makes sense because it's them getting an inch of power and taking pounds of power, taking all the power. You know, all right, you could open now. Now you can't open now. Now you could open, but you have to sell food. Why do you have to? What makes the deal when you sell liquor, but you don't have a rest? You don't have a kitchen, but you have to sell food. What, that prevents the virus?
It doesn't make sense.
I mean, to me, a bar that doesn't sell food is safer than a restaurant because at least you pull the mask down and take a sip. Now they're making you eat, so you got to take the mask off longer to eat. The whole fucking thing is dumb, man. The whole thing, there's an underlying, I'm not a conspiracy guy like some of our brothers are, but
yeah.
there's no joke that there's not other stuff going on around this whole motherfucking thing. It's just like in the medical industry, that you got a cold, they're saying you got COVID because they get more money. They're saying, oh, I got the flu. No, you got COVID because they get more money. This is a big money grab. Big pharma. Big pharma's always been so honest and good to the people.
Well, me and you gonna walk out. Like, pop out, two guys are shooters from the pharmaceutical companies. Like, those guys cannot play.
That's no joke. We're kidding around, but it's true. I mean, they can't sell diarrhea medicine without it fucking killing you. You know, how many commercials do you put on TV? And there's lawsuit commercials for the drugs that they sell. And there's half of the commercial is the warnings of all the things that happen, that could happen to you when you take it. Never mind this thing that they rush to make that they're sticking in your arm right now. You know, all right, save the world. You know, don't blame it on China. It came from fucking China. So face it. I think it got released from China. I don't think it. How did this?
All I know is that I stay away from Warren and Warren and Royce. This is China.
Those are Chinese Americans.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
It's all right. everybody. I don't hear anybody wondering. It just came out of nowhere one day.
Yeah.
But how did this just, you know, poof, it's there? No, it came from a fucking lab and they let it out.
Yeah, this is the same lab where they made Scam Dust.
Scam Dust came from way down below. The devil couldn't even keep him in hell.
He'll make a deal with the devil somehow.
The devil made a deal with him. He's like, get back up there and get the fuck out of here, and I'll leave you alone.
Yeah, he sent Scam Dust out for sure.
You can do whatever you want, and you won't get in trouble. And that's there you go.
Throw him out. Get him out of here.
That guy, he can do anything and go anywhere and not get in trouble.
No, he just let him go. They love him.
he goes crazy, and people buy him dinner and fucking clothes. He needs to do a symposium for homeless people on how to get over on the world.
Yeah, him and MQ. Okay, for both of those guys.
Who? No, nobody knows.
Yeah, it's MQ and Scam Dust.
M who? Are you
I always love when I hear you guys talk about Scam Dust because again, I've only known him as like from the outside. When I hear you guys talk about, oh my God, this shit. I mean, we had him on as a guest, and that was a whole nother thing.
Was that a 4-hour show?
It was interesting. We had to edit a significant. But
he's very funny, and he's a unique individual with the most amazing personality. Some
best part.
People can't deal with him because a lot of people live sheltered lives. It's the same people that are posting Bernie Sanders in every fucking picture online right now. Hey, look, look, he's behind me. There he is. You know, but meanwhile, they'll go through the trouble of doing that. But when they're when bands are playing again, they won't share a flyer. Or if someone's doing a benefit such as myself, which people did kick in a lot of people didn't. I got 5,000 followers on Facebook. You know, they won't do it. They won't spread a picture for a dog
rescue.
They
won't share. They won't share for a good cause. It's so weird.
But everybody, it's funny because everybody expects you to do the shit for them when they need it.
I will though. I will. I'm not a fucking dick.
Oh, I won't. I'm over. I said the favor bank on mine closed. No more favors outside.
Jimmy, me and you have helped always pay benefits for people all the time, even people that we never liked. People were like, don't do a benefit. And no, seriously. And we'll do it.
Just the way all you
Jimmy
say
and
it.
I always like when Murphy's always Murphy's Law crowd towards the Scarhead. And then the funny thing is also when Jimmy plays and I play, everyone comes out once again for free. They bum rush the deal, they call us up and they drink our beer, they drink our fucking Jack Daniels or Jameson, they do our coke, and I'm like, what the fuck? You know, then something happens. A fight or something, they blame me and Jimmy. Always.
It's not easy being green, as Kermit.
All right, well, when shows come back, you heard it here first. That's no more. That's
oh
it.
My God. When shows come back, Jack, I'm dead because everybody's going to want to have a good time. I don't think everybody's going to want to run out and see Houston today. They're going to want to come out and see me and Danny have a good time.
Jimmy, we're gonna have to take you around like Weekend of Bernie's, Weekend at Jimmy's, though. Just keep it going.
Let's leave Bernie out of this. Let's go
a weekend at Easter. we're going to go upstairs. We're going to do Sit Home and Rock for me and you. Then I'm going to come up and sing with you the whole fucking time. I'm a second singer for Murphy's Law now.
We'll do the Jewish version. We'll sit Shiva and Rot.
Sit Shiva and Rot.
Before we let Jimmy go, I just let's plug a couple little things. So
I have to do another podcast for a metal horror podcast.
Oh, well, this one is we're way more fun. So listen, a couple of things. So there's going to be some new music from Jimmy. Oh, what's that?
That's a killer beer can.
That's sick.
We're making killer beer toys now.
Oh, that's amazing.
Hey, there's more bobbleheads. Buy a bobblehead.
Let me show the bobblehead because I did want. I was going to plug that at the end of this. Off here really quick.
I almost stepped on my dog.
So crazy.
Fucked up because when they did the bobblehead, and I know it wasn't the guy because he loves animals too. So
it's so cool.
Almost the same size as my real head. Yeah, so there it is. And it's funny because people are like, now you find like I made it.
Oh, it's amazing.
You never saw that? Yeah, it's
on the back. It says adopt.
Give me that bobblehead.
It's supposed to say adopt, don't shop. But they didn't put them on all of them. Yep,
hey, Jimmy, let me ask you really quick about how did the process come together for that?
Well, they take a little bit of my blood and they put it in this machine.
No, but was that an idea did you go to them with the idea or?
No. There's a company called Agronautics, and there's a guy Clint that's been my friend for a long time, and he's been doing it. He's done a lot of other. I kind of like that he did all these other groups and all these other musicians and such and entertainers. And then he asked me to do it.
That's awesome.
And, you know, he asked me to do it years ago and you know, whatever, I was busy. Now I'm not. So boom, now we're working on, and nobody knows this either. This is coming out. Now we're going to do a killer beer one.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yo, listen, amazing.
And nobody knows about it either. We're doing these things for turntables too. That's something I can't talk about yet, but when the record comes out, we're going to do a run of the records where it comes out with special stuff and you're going to get the special little thing for your turntable and
one of those like a spinner, like a, I already
the
know.
Mats.
Jimmy, you know what you got to do is you got to call Brian Flynn at Super 7 and get him to do a reaction of the killer beer can.
What's that?
So what is Super 7 and Brian.
He reviews the stuff. He reviews stuff.
He's the guy who did the Eliminator and the Rancid action.
All that.
But he's a big hardcore guy.
Maybe you should do a fucking Murph Man or something.
The fact that the fact that this doesn't exist yet is boggling to me. And you have to hit up Brian Flynn ASAP.
I don't know why. I don't know why they wasted the time doing that eliminator thing. Why don't they just make a stigma? They should have made a stigma.
I'm working on a stigma one actually with Vinny. So we're gonna
We've all been working on a stigma for quite some time.
He was our last guest, actually. We had him here in Connecticut, and it was a really good time.
Just don't wind up with a stigmatism.
No, we got to make a – Jimmy, I'm going to send you we got to make a killer – we got to get Super 7 to do a killer bee – killer beer.
Killer beer. Well, actually, Murph Man would be cool. The Cavity Queen.
Yeah, I'm going to send you some
That's a trifecta.
I'm gonna send Jimmy some ideas here offline.
I mean, not for nothing, Murphy's Law's got a lot of character ideas and characters and all of our art and all the stuff. We got a whole fucking record cover with figures in it.
It's boggling to me that this hasn't been brought up. So if somebody out there who knows Super 7 or Brian Flynn, tell them. Come on, we need
and the story thing with that record, which I think was Dedicated.
Dedicated.
My hopes was to get that, not those particular characters, but I wanted to do a claymation video of all of that.
Oh, that would have been sick.
Yeah, money. Record labels, when you sign to record labels, they like to just put out enough stuff to recoup their money.
Yep.
That's that.
So, not anymore with Dick Money Records.
Woo, Dick Money!
Dick Money Records in the house!
Spurting classics out.
Jimmy, before we let you go, where can everybody keep up with you online? Where can we get the bobblehead, the merch?
I'm not telling anybody.
I'm going to plug it whether you tell us or not, so you might as well tell us.
Find me on Facebook, James Drescher. Don't call me Gestapo anymore.
Okay.
I don't want to get canceled out. I don't want. I can't believe I snuck through life with that stupid nickname as long as it is. For Christ's sakes, I'm talking to my goddamn Jewish brother here. I know the Gestapo. It's a great punk rock name, but I'm 55 now, and everybody, I don't want to just get shut. I don't want to get kicked off of Facebook for being called Gestapo. Now they just kick people. Now it's just like, oh, we don't like what you said. Now you're gone.
Yeah, they ban
everybody. Cancel culture. You're canceled.
Canceled.
Why don't they cancel Rick Healy?
I think he's been canceled numerous times, dude, for fucking.
No, they're always putting Paul Bearer in the Facebook jail.
just because of the way he looks, not because of what he said. they're afraid of him. Did you see the chair I sent the picture of him to him? And it looked just like him? Wait, can you pull up the...
Yes, I saw that.
I saw this chair, and I'm looking at the chair, and I'm like, I don't know where I was sitting with it. I'm like, do you see that? And I'm like, look at the chair. What do you see? And everybody was like, oh, my God. The chair looked just like Bull.
You're going to have to send me a picture of that to put in.
Yes, please, sir, so we can post it.
I don't know how to send things. I'll have to mail it to you.
That's okay. Right, so keep up with Jimmy on Facebook, Instagram. There's going to be some new Murphy's Law music. Hopefully,
I don't know. That's not going to work. Wait.
Oh, you can kind of see it. I'm gonna put it in over the...
There it is.
Oh, my God.
That's terrible.
Look at that. It looks just like Paul Bearer. You want to sit on Paul Bearer's face? There's the chair.
Oh, God.
Yo, that's fucking great, man.
That'll keep you off your ass.
Jimmy, thank you so much for joining us. I hope that the next time I see you, man, we are fucking partying.
Let's do episode two. We'll do episode two. We'll talk about more stuff.
Smoking a joint.
I'll be more prepared. Again. I'll be more prepared next time.
Hey, man. There's no such thing as preparation on Diablos. No, that would make a good show.
Preparation
Jimmy, H. Jimmy, you're great, Jimmy.
Preparation H is the only preparation I get involved in.
Yeah. You're the best, Jimmy. Thank you so much, man.
I love you, Jimmy.
Love you guys. You're forever.
Please, forever. Claudia Reed.
Ever wonder what a punch from Elton John feels like?
Or how you'd cope with having turned down the chance to be in Nirvana?
Or what signal Keith Richards gives when he wants you to get the hell out of his hotel room?
fans of Too Much Effing Perspective don't have to wonder, because they've heard these exact stories and a jillion others on our podcast. I'm Alex Hoffman, former tour manager for Radiohead.
And I'm musician and comedy writer Alan Keller. On the TMEP show, we get guests like Nancy Wilson from Heart, Jeremiah Frates from the Lumineers, and Modern Family's Julie Bowen to tell us things they may have only shared with their therapist, clergy, or a TMZ stringer.
So join us on Too Much Effing Perspective. That's EFFING Perspective, the only podcast you crank up to 11. Oh.